guess Lieutenant Dan figured there's some things you just can't change. He didn't want to be called crippled, just like I didn't want to be called stupid.
Happy New Year, Gump.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Kindly produce a sound. Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead, any sound. Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. Does my voice sound sexy? It should, because I'm sick as heck. welcome to the show. My name's Will Koontz with you once again, as always. A little bit under the weather, but hey, you know, it happens this time of year. The weather changes drastically this time of year. One day it's 85, and then the next day it's 60 for the high. So that does a number on your body. It does me, anyway. That's for sure. Granted, I treat my body like a landfill for the most part and don't really do anything positive to it. And maybe that's detrimental to my overall well-being. And I'm just blaming the temperature change instead of me being accountable for my own self. But that's all going to change in 2017. And by change, I mean, things will be exactly the same, probably, as it is now. But welcome back, man. It's good to talk to everybody. Had a nice break. Had a nice few weeks off. Was sick through most of it, but it was good. Christmas was good. New Year's was all right, you know. And now it's just months of nothing to look forward to until that next holiday. You don't get a break any other time in the year. Like you do towards the end of the year. You got Thanksgiving, and a few weeks later, you're rolling right into Christmas, and a week later, it's New Year's. And now it's just nothing. Nothing until about Easter, and that's not really anything. I don't think anybody gets off work for that or anything. Martin Luther King Day, some people get that off. But not like you do, because at work for me, it was like that week, everybody took off that, you know, works in that industry, like real jobs in the business area of life. Everyone probably has vacation days they didn't take, so they take that whole week off between Christmas and New Year's. So there was nothing to do. I mean, we were dead. So a lot of times we were just leaving early. I was home by, you know, lunchtime a lot of these days. And then you just hang out, you know, drink. Did a lot of that. Did a lot of boozing over the break. But it's nice to be back. It's good to have purpose again. And not just be floating through life. I don't really like sitting around and doing nothing. I appreciate it now when I can do it, but it's not ideal situation for people to be in. It makes you stagnant and makes time crawl on. I'd rather let's get this over with. Let's go. Let's move. So yeah, back in the saddle here. First new show of 2017. We got Miami Rockers Sun Ghosts. Stopping in, Nick, Jared, Crocodile Deathspin, which is probably the best name ever in the world. I don't think that's his real name. I think it's a nickname, but that's how he introduced himself, so that's what I'm going to call him. And Louie stopped in here, pre-recorded this just before Christmas break. They were here playing with Billy Mays III at, I think it was 662 or Foo Bar or something. So they stopped in, said hello. We had a good chat. So that'll be coming up here shortly. So it's a new year. New hate crimes happening all over the country. I got in a fight with my friend Rob. I don't know. I probably even talked about this. About there's this hearsay in the country of this new Trump's America now that Trump's elected. There's this whirlwind of hearsay on the internet with no pictures, no video evidence, just people saying that they were harassed by white Trump supporters. Some lady got found out to be a hoax, said some guys in New York took off her hijab and threw it in the dirt and yelled, "Yeah, Trump," or something. And that turned out to be a lie. There was the church that got burned down in Louisiana, I believe it was. Got turned out to be a hoax by a person at the church, black guy, burned down the church to try to make it seem like Trump people did it. All these stories that I hear about end up being fake. I have yet to hear one that has been proven true. I mean, I'm sure there are. I'm not saying there aren't. I just haven't heard of any. The ones that I've heard of have been completely made up and fake. The guy that the firefighter in some, I don't know, Texas or something that got proved to be a hoax. He got like 25 grand from the internet because he was crying about how I think they burned his car and spray painted stuff on his garage or something. That ended up being fake. There's just so many of these that go around that aren't real. The demand for the hatred isn't there. And I mean, I know there's people out there who probably aren't very nice, but this, it just doesn't exist. What they're saying is out there. But on the other hand of that, I've seen videos of, I saw one that they beat up some dude for being a Trump supporter, some teenage kids. I think that had more to do with bad parenting more than anything. But then today I saw a kidnapping in Chicago. And they literally took this white kid and two dudes and two ladies, tied them up. And then, this is how dumb they are, they put it on Facebook Live. And, you know, beat him up. He's got cuts all on his head. He was held hostage for quite a long time. So this is the video evidence I'm talking about. And when I got in a fight with Rob, I was like, dude, everybody has a cell phone that takes pictures and streams video. Why are there no video evidence of any of these things happening? And then his rebuttal, of course, was, I've seen it happen. I'm dubious of you, too. It's because he's another one who wants this to be true so bad that I wouldn't be surprised if he's making it up. But, you know, this is the reality now. So, yeah, there's video evidence of these people. Again, I don't think it's like a hate thing. I think they're just, well, maybe it is a hate thing, but I think there's a lot of bad parenting out there. I don't think any of these kids that hijacked this teenager in Chicago today had dads, I'm going to say. So, yeah, it's a shame, you know, but I am seeing the evidence and video on the other side. But what I'm hearing from celebrities and, you know, people on the internet just saying that some guy did this to me, it's just not true. Sorry, but show me one of these things that ends up being real. And then, like I said, I know they exist, but I haven't seen them. So I can only go by my own experience. And it's not just my experience. It's what I'm seeing on the internet. I have the same access that everybody else does. And when I asked for one of these things to be true, that one of the Trump people did, I never get anything back. That ends up being real. They all end up getting proven to be fake. Excuse me. Jeez. Let me go get water. Hang on real quick. All right, I'm back. I forget that I don't even have to tell you that because the beauty of modern technology is that I can just push pause and then come back to it. I think I got everything figured out. You know, we were having some problems at the end of last year with me losing audio for some reason. I reformatted the iPad. Jeez, sorry. The iPad and re-downloaded the app, and everything seems to be working great again. So that's terrific news. Oh, Concrete Media, Danny Jones. He was in here, I guess, a couple months ago. All the Deckhands, I don't know if you remember that episode, but he did this documentary on the life of deckhands, Madeira Beach, like, fishermen, which, if you live in this area, I'm sure you've had some run-ins with these people. He did a really good job with it. It's really interesting stuff, and did a really great job at humanizing some of these people. So all four of those are now up. Check out Concrete with a K at the beginning, not a C, .com, and all the episodes are up there. I'm going to write something for Suburban Apologist on it this week. He did a really good job with it, and you should check it out, definitely. This podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue. Going into the new year, I think Sly Bar is still sponsoring this thing. I talked to Joe, and he's like, yeah, I think so. Well, okay, I'm going to run with it then. So Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue. God, St. Pete. Slybar.com, Facebook.com/SlybarSt. Pete. And Truvy Salon and Spa, Chrissy Parker. Get your nails did. Get your hair done. You deserve it. 8908 4th Street North here in St. Petersburg. Phone number 727-329-9751. Make sure you go like the Facebook page. Let's start the year off right. Facebook.com/HMB Radio and Radio St. Pete on Facebook for Radio St. Pete. Follow me on Twitter. I'll talk to you. I'll chat with you on there. Home_made_man. And Radio St. Pete is just Radio St. Pete. Radio STPETE. If you want to leave a voicemail or a text for the program, you can do that. It can be reached at 813-693-2124. And you can always email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. So I think that's it for my thing. I guess we can get to the Sun Ghosts. They're really fun dudes. So let's talk to them, shall we? Sun Ghosts, right here on the Homemade Broadcast, RadioSaintPete.com. From steamy Miami, Florida, the Sun Ghosts. Welcome, guys.
Oh, my God, it's so hot.
So hot.
It's so hot.
Has it worn off?
What's the temperature in Miami? Is it any difference than it is here? Not much,
yes.
I'm sure.
I'll tell you right now.
I'm going to guess it's going to be in the 80s.
That's a good guess.
Like high.
It's 79.
Okay.
Yeah.
79.
So
I was about to ask Siri,
I can ask
it's pretty much
Jared.
The same here. It hasn't really cooled down at all.
With a chilling low of 70.
Whoa.
At least there's a breeze.
Yes. You do get a nice little breeze down here. That's true. So what's Miami like? How do you guys like Miami?
Miami is home.
I feel like it's a culturally probably a pretty great place to be in a band. Geographically, maybe not so much, because you're right down. Literally, you can't be any farther in the lower 48.
You know, culturally, it's not a great place to be in a band, because Miami lends itself more to electronic music and... Yeah, it lends itself more to that than it does to a live rock scene. You know, there's definitely like an underground scene there that's been bubbling up for years and years, and it always kind of gets to that boiling point, and then it kind of like goes back down, and that's all because of the venues. There's a good venue for a few years, and then something happens, and it gets torn down, it's all about having an all ages or at least an 18 and older venue, and sometimes we don't have that. But now there's a couple. And we've been playing a lot of them for the last few years. There's a lot of really, really amazing bands down there. So I think that there are a lot of these little gaps that are being filled. There's record labels popping up and managers and people that actually care about music just kind of popping up. And that's a great thing. So,
but there's not really a shortage of bands, right? I mean, I know like the Plastic Pinks are from down there, right?
Yeah.
They were on here not too long ago.
It's not like...
Here, get really close up to that thing. You can move that, too, if you want, so it's comfortable. Yeah.
Look at that.
Live in the lap of luxury over here.
But, yeah, it's not like New York or L.A. or... You know what I mean? Like, everyone from Miami knows us or the Plastic Pinks or the Deaf Poets because, of, you know, there's... It's not crazy over there.
Yeah.
Jacuzzi Boys.
The thing is, there's plenty of talent. There are plenty of bands. But then there's no, like, cut path for them to go on in order to... put in the hard work and get heard. And it's kind of like this whole DIY movement right now is just, that's it. It's like this huge wilderness, and they're like, all right, you're a band, go run and frolic in the field and make it happen. Figure it out.
So there's no, I mean, you could pretty much self-produce your own album. That's not a big deal. But
that's
as
what
far
we did
as,
for our first EP, so.
Right. Finding places to play. That's where you're having trouble.
Sometimes, yes, finding the places to play. Also the in-between people, like the people that want to help you out because they dig your music. There's not a lot of that in Miami. There's not a lot of, like startup labels that say, hey, there's all these awesome bands, let's help them get heard and distribute their music in all the right places, and we have the knowledge, we're going to help teach them. There's not a lot of that, so it's kind of like the bands helping each other, teaching each other how to get by. So it's a very kind of street scene, if you will.
Well, Miami's weird because culturally it's almost like another country.
Yeah.
I drove through, I went on a cruise and I had to go out of Miami, and it looked awesome. There's murals everywhere, you know, it looked great. And then the last time I was there, I was 18, and I just remember sweating a lot and listening to Usher's Yeah the whole time. And nobody spoke English. It was amazing.
It's North Cuba.
Yeah. So is it kind of a cultural thing? Like maybe rock and roll is not a big thing in Miami just because there's so many, it's a diverse part of the country?
Yeah.
It's growing, though. It's definitely growing.
I mean, new to rock and roll is not a big part of it, but being a performer is a big part of it. I mean, Miami has made me like just be the best performer that I can be. I mean, especially in a place where maybe they're not super used to bands, you have to be on point 10 out of 10 every night to keep them around. Like, you gotta entertain them.
And it really makes you work harder to try to be something.
Coming from Miami, like, I'm super proud of that. Like, that is awesome. I mean, like, amazing performers have come out of there. And for us to be from there is just, it is awesome. Like, it's made us the best that we could be, because you have that stress of like, okay, man, we gotta show these people what's up. And, you know, every show that we do, it is just like the last one that we're gonna do, because you have to keep them around, and that's why we've been getting, you know, so much traction in the city, because it's something different and we're just really giving it our all. So you can either, you know, complain about being from a city that, you know, oh, there's problems, oh, it's not working out, oh, we don't live in LA, oh, we gotta move to New York, or you can do something about it. You can get off your butt, you know? And you can start doing, you can make it yourself.
Do you feel like Miami's kind of slept on as far as the scene goes?
Oh, yeah.
Man, absolutely.
There's some people that shred over there, like, for sure.
I didn't even introduce you guys. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
So we're Sun Ghosts.
And then names, and then what you do in the band?
So I'm Nick Olas. I'm the songwriter, singer, guitarist, and...
Swole guy.
Swole guy.
Yeah, he is our buff dude.
My name is Louis. I'm the drummer / backing vocals, and...
You're the heart of the band.
Heart of the band, and I like to raise my eyebrows.
A lot.
My name is Crocodile Deathspin. I'm the guitarist
name.
And synth player for the future tracks, and stuntman of the band. And
also hype man.
And hype man, yeah. But Jared's also the hype man. We're co-hype men.
We're a good team. We both have blonde hair, so it's a must.
What do you do in a band, Jared?
I play bass and I fix everybody's stuff when it breaks.
No, Jared, you're not blonde.
Do you have a little bit of blonde?
If you look blonde to me. Yeah.
It's a dirty blonde, almost a little bit of red in there.
Yeah. So Nick...
Then again, I am colorblind, so hey, just go ahead and tell them what you do, man.
I play bass and I fix everybody's stuff. Yeah.
Everybody's electronics
Yeah,
stuff?
Pretty much.
Any instruments that break? Do you guys break a guitar every night?
Oh, not too bad.
That's my baby.
We might get started. This guy was talking about trying to do some... thing as a part of the show.
I always want to throw my guitar at the end, but then I'm like, yo, I'm broke. So
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It looks so cool. Like when you see The Who do it on music videos and stuff, it's
awesome.
Like, oh my God, that's the coolest thing I think you can do ever.
Yeah. Or light it on fire. Anything destructive, you know, it's kind of like a statement.
And then afterwards, you're just super gluing it back together. Like, would I do this? So dumb.
I need to buy another Squire.
You could get those really cheap ones, but still, even that, if you're broke, $20 is still a lot of money sometimes.
Sometimes.
So when did you guys form the band?
3 years ago, three and a half now, 2013.
And you already signed to a label?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
Yeah, right on.
Yeah. Indie startup label, you know, they were looking for the one band to like start their label with, and they found us at a little dive bar called Bougainvillea's. In South Miami area.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
You can see a band in the front and then salsa in the back.
Yeah.
They've been supporting local music a lot lately, so shout out to them for that.
So you formed in 2013. How did you guys all meet?
Yeah, I met Crocodile in a music business 2 class in Miami-Dade College, and we were both in other bands before, and it kind of wasn't working out at all. We were talking about all the new bands that we were into, underground surf punk bands and garage rock, and we said we'd love to start some kind of project together, and he had a drum set. So I met Jared then at a party, and we hit it off immediately. There was just some kind of alien chemistry there. We're like aliens from another planet, just like, oh, finally, my brother.
Man, it's good. You know, like, you go to a lot of places and you meet somebody, they're like, yo, we got a jam, man. And
you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, when Nick was different. He was like, had this vibe about him that I actually really did want to.
He's like, this Tuesday, you're like, oh, all right. Yeah,
you like really made the date. He's like, yo, we're going to get it. I was like, oh, man, this guy's probably like, he's probably really good. You know, he's probably like really serious just the way he was talking about stuff. And I went over to his house and he showed me like, I don't know how many demos. And I was like, okay, this guy, like, he's ready to go, man.
Yeah,
he's
like over 1,000 like song clips and ideas on my iTunes organized. And I was like, hey, man, I want to write a ton of songs. I got it all here. Let's make something happen. He's like, all right, I'm with you. And I called up Croc and went over his place, and he was our drummer at first. We were 3-piece jamming for a couple months, just playing Chili Peppers, Arctic Monkeys, and Strokes covers, and played our first show for Halloween, and it was fun. But we kept on thinking, all right, we want to get a drummer, because Croc, his main instrument is guitar, and he missed playing guitar. So Croc's boy from 8th grade, you guys have been playing?
3rd grade.
3rd grade. Mr. Louie over here, he had a job playing as a Blue Martini drummer, just on the weekends. And
what's Blue Martini? Is that like a bar?
It's like a bar chain kind of thing.
Top 40 kind of bar.
All right.
And you hear Usher, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I played all those Usher songs about, you know, a good 300 times. So I got all of those. I got all of those top 40 songs in the back of my head.
Yeah, I remember when I was down there, we were playing that song, and then a car would pull up, and they would have the same song on.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like at the same time, like, hey. It was synced, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I wasn't even on the radio. We're just playing different stations on the thing. It was amazing. Couldn't believe it. So the thing with bands that I always find fascinating is you have to keep this togetherness. You have to be on a schedule. And usually, musicians tend to be a little flaky in their personal lives, but somehow they make the band time work.
Yeah. Prioritizing.
How do you do that? Because if it's just you, like I do comedy and stuff, so it's just me, I don't have to worry about it. I go, do my thing, leave, you know, I put on shows, all this. But you're dependent on 3 other people. How do you guys make that work without killing each other?
I mean, I guess we're all just equally as stoked on it, so we're just like, yeah, let's do it. I'll be there. We get there early, you know what I mean?
The other bands that I've been in, that was the main disconnect, that I was on one page and the other band members weren't on that same page. And I was still young, so I didn't know how to communicate to them and try to get that point across. And, you know, you make a lot of mistakes in life. And if you've got the patience enough for it, then you look back at the mistakes and you say, oh, okay, that's what I did wrong. Let me learn from it and correct that and do it again. And so kept on joining different bands and learning from my mistakes as a band leader. And then when I got together with these guys, I made sure.
We were all on page 420, so it was just like, you know.
I made sure. I told them, guys, in this band, the end goal is just to get as much to the top as possible, to like put in all the work. This is going to be our career. This is going to be our life. We're going to make our lives revolve around this band and, you know, making music and going to make sure that everybody in this band is happy. And so it's a give and take. It's not like just because I'm the band leader, like whatever I say goes. Like I listen to the dudes listen to each other. And if we have a problem with something, we bring it up and we talk it out. And there's this trust and this respect. And we all prioritize the band, and that always comes first. And there's been plenty of times where there's like a concert of another band that we love that we want to see. But there's also this show that we could possibly play that will either make us some money or expose us to some new fans. And always, always we'll be like, oh, reluctant, but I know that this is the priority. I can put this other band on hold. I can see them another time. It's all about sacrifice in the end, but it always feels good when you do that, because you know that it's your own life, you know? So
all four of us, our lives are in each other's hands. We kind of depend on each other for that. So,
and you guys have been on tour, so you're pretty much living in a van, I take it.
Yeah.
Any, like, knockdown, drag-out fights?
No, I mean, it's just like if you're going to go to apply for any job that's in close quarters, you're going to go work in an office or you're going to go work in a confined area, that when you go to apply, you know, they want to look for somebody that can hang. You know, you should be good at your job and sure. do what you do. You know, I mean, we're all, you know, proficient on our instruments, but, you know, I don't think that any of us would be here if we were, you know, a bloop, if we were a jerk or anything like that. So that's also a big part of the gig. And a big part of any band is being able to hang, you know, being able to pass those hours in the van. Because it's true that, you know, touring, like, playing the show is not really like a big part of the day when you really
that's a small percentage
it, you know? Yeah, it's a smaller part, so
it's a lot of driving room.
Like, yeah, so like it's awesome that I'm the bass player that they really enjoy, you know, that I'm great for the bands, but I gotta do a lot of other things too, you know. If I was a jerk, I would not be here, you know. That's just it's the truth. So yeah. You know, if you're looking to get into it and you'd want to put together a band for yourself, you know, you also have to look at people, you know, who can I spend you know, a lot of time with, because that is also how you build your musical connection and that also a business connection. You know, you want to make sure that you surround yourself with good people. You know, if you can really spend a lot of time with somebody and, you know, be throwing out ideas, you know, whether they're musical or they're business or just for fun and you guys are having a good time, the workflow becomes very easy, becomes very natural. It's almost like not work, you know. I mean, in the car, even, you know, maybe two guys are sleeping, two guys are awake, we're on our phones, we're sending a couple emails, you know, doing other interviews, you know, writing to other blogs, and it's really easy. And at the same time, we're talking about, you know, some party back home from Miami or some person that, like, was doing something funny, and, like, the workflow becomes really easy. Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes like a brotherhood, I guess, at a certain point. You're just hanging with your bros.
It does always feel like we're just hanging out. Like
hanging and working. And
yeah.
That's an awesome balance. You know, I remember when I first started reading about the Chili Peppers and I learned about this chemistry that they had, I was always thinking about that chemistry like this mythological thing. I'm like, oh, band chemistry. What does that mean? What does that entail? How do you get that? And I learned over the years being with this band that it's the fact that, like I was saying earlier, there's this trust that we have with each other and this ability to joke with each other. And, you know, when you get on tour and you're with each other for like 30 days straight, you're going to figure out the little pet peeves that you have with this person or that person has with you. And it's about respect to be like, all right, I know this bothers that person. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to hold back from that. And it really like creates a strong relationship, and that strengthens what you have so that when you take it to the show and you start playing and you play these songs or you're writing new songs, all of that gets translated. So it's not just about here's a song that's being written. It's like, how are the musicians putting their hearts into those songs and those parts that are being played into this whole final product that comes out. And so the vibe that we have with each other comes out in the music, and it's a very special thing. And that's what chemistry is, and I found that out recently, so that's cool.
Yeah, right on. So nobody's came and brought their girlfriend and said, hey, she's going to be playing tambourines now with us. I would advise against that if you're thinking about
well,
it.
Well,
I mean, unless she's an amazing tambourine player. I mean, she's, like, incredible. Then
she could be the best tambourine player, I'm telling you. It's just not worth it. I know some of my buddies were in a band down here. Pretty good. I don't want to get myself in trouble, but then one of them brought their girlfriends in, and then about 2 months later, they were no longer a band anymore. So, yeah, that's how it goes. So you guys got girlfriends? I mean, I would imagine playing music and going around town, it would be more convenient not to, but you do? Crocodile Deathspin?
Oh,
you do too? Okay, I thought Crocodile Deathspin is the only guy with a girlfriend. That would be the last one, I would think. How do you make that work in a relationship?
You gotta make sure she's not jealous at all, you know what I mean? Like, I'm away from home all the time, but you just gotta trust each other, and, you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
That was a strong relationship, for sure.
A lot of support, man. Like, the trust and support, those are the two,
I mean, also
two main things.
You're traveling a lot. Everybody kind of wants something that keeps you grounded. You know, you want like a little piece of home or something like that. And then for Louis and Crocodile, like they have their ladies, and it's awesome. And they're also really involved, you know, and they help out as much as they can with things. And they're fantastic people, you know. I mean, they're great guys, so it's no wonder they have great women, you know, with them to support them. And they're, you know, they're great people.
Yeah, Jared and I suck.
We don't suck. We're single, so we have a lot of fun. But, you know, we have other things that keep us grounded. You know, other things that work for us.
Like sucking. Things,
man. Each other? Or what's...
Oh, no, I set that one up.
Context.
No, but,
yeah. He's digging his own grave, you know.
Yeah, you guys must be having a blast. I mean, a good lady's important. It's great. But I would imagine you're having fun out there after a show. Especially your guitar players and you play the bass.
Yeah.
You guys are right up front. You know, the ladies are looking your way the entire time.
This guy with his shirt off, pointing at
you. Take your shirt off. Let's see. I'll take a peek.
Oh, shit.
What are you guys
doing?
Here he comes.
He's really going to do it. Let's do this thing. Let's see.
You put a lot of time into that body.
Oh, I like it.
There it is.
I like it. Look at that.
Yeah, he's a swole guy.
He's got the traps. He's got a hairy chest.
Why do people take their shirt off like this?
The other day in Atlanta, these girls just came up to him because he was sweaty and muscular, and they just wanted to take a picture with him. Like,
they didn't even know he was a guitar player?
I don't know if
they saw the show.
Okay. They took a picture with him, just left with the picture. That's it. That was it.
Here's the misconception.
What the hell, dude?
Here's the misconception. Because these girls came up and they're like, oh, let's take a picture. Oh my God, this came out rad. That's awesome. Thanks. And then, you know, they kind of walk away and there's no conversation after that. It's just, oh, hey, look, let's take a picture with this sweaty dude. But I was like, oh, okay, let's talk a little bit more. No, none of that. That's, you know, it's actually a little bit, it's not as easy on the road as you might think to just, like, go out there and get promiscuous with people.
Except
with
Jared.
No, man.
the thing is that we're, as much as we like to have fun, we're not as promiscuous as we could be. You know, we could really, like, benefit from those things and be like, all right, let's just get completely wasted and get out there and get raunchy. But there's really nothing wrong with that. Like, that sounds like a fantastic
time.
It's a
rock star lifestyle.
But just me personally, like, I don't know, I can't just, like, do it with anybody. I got to, like, talk to the person just a little bit before.
You're a good, nice man.
They got to be woke, you know?
They got to be woke. Oh, they have to be woke. Please.
So, ladies, if you're listening, if you see him, he's a nice man. Approach him. Talk to him first. He's not a piece of meat.
Right.
And maybe you can
talk to him
make
about
out.
Global warming and the state of the Union.
You get him all right.
Start talking to me about climate change.
That'll get
if
his
you
shirt
believe in
fast.
It, I believe in you. Let's go.
Sun Ghosts are here. So you're on this, is it a Florida tour nationwide?
We started in Nashville with our boys Future Thieves, and we went down to Atlanta, Panama City, Orlando, and we're St. Pete today, tomorrow's Jacksonville, and then that's it. Like, it's just a week-long run.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we have our homecoming show in
Miami. Oh, yeah, Miami, too.
When's that?
How can I?
Thursday.
Oh, this coming Thursday?
At Churchill's. You been there before?
I don't think so.
That's the spot you got to go to.
I mean, maybe when I was 18 and sweating, I don't know.
It's the best venue in Miami, for sure. Marilyn Manson used to play there back in the day.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, right on. So how do you book a tour? What's the process of that? Do you have people that do that for you? Or?
Well, funny story. While we were getting our stuff together the first 2 years, we were doing it all ourselves, you know, DIY. And at one point, Croc over here, with his girlfriend, they decided, you know what? Why don't we just start our own booking company so that we can learn from booking Sun Ghosts and create that into a business on the side, because there seems to be no, there seems to be like I was talking about earlier, a gap to fill in Miami for booking companies. So, Croc, that's your segue.
Yeah, we book hard. We book it.
They're like a library. So many books.
So, I mean, you know very little about booking. I'll start a company. I'll learn as I go.
Yeah.
So are you booking other bands now too?
Yeah, we book a couple other bands. I mean, we don't try to do too many. Only the ones that are really good. But we're doing a band from Israel called Random Dogs. They're coming down around May, so we book for them. We did some Future Thief stuff, Mantra Love from Texas, Howling Tongues from Atlanta, a bunch of different bands that if I like them, I'll book them, you know?
So do you just, is that as easy as picking up the phone, calling a venue, hey, I got this band?
It depends on the venue. Some venues are not responsive at all. Or like, they'll be like, yeah, you guys can play. Then you won't hear from them for like a month. But then there's some places that are easy and they're great to work with. So it all depends on level of professionality.
Professionalism?
I think that's the word. Professionalism on the other end, you know?
Yeah.
We're musicians.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be surprised. I do the City Hall podcast too for the city, and I stumble over the. I couldn't think of what was the word I was trying to think of. Implement. And I was like, this is what I want to do with my life. I really have a grasp on the English language, don't I? It's humiliating.
A little bit.
So tell me, so you're doing any plans for 2017 tours? Because I know the Pinks, it was impressive because they were like, yeah, we just called up Nevada. And we were like, yo, we want to play. And they were like, all right. And they went all around the country. They all played in Wyoming.
They ride out, man. Those guys leave.
They leave for like 3 months. The biggest we've done is a month. We did it in September. That was crazy. So we might do something like that September again.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be recording a new album at the beginning of the year, new music videos, so a bunch of stuff. So most likely we will have a tour around September, November. And that's a good time because all the colleges are getting lit at that time.
You know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you just put out an album, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about that.
So with the... With the indie startup label that picked us up last year, we recorded this 14-song album, which is a dream of mine and all the bands I've been in. I've been wanting to just drop an LP. I love the classic format of a record, having 14 songs, something like that, like fat record that just has all these different ups and downs, sad songs, uplifting songs, kick-ass songs. Can I say kick-ass on the radio? Kick-ass songs. and these songs were pretty much a timestamp of us just getting together and being so stoked that we had finally all found a band that really fit our personalities and we fit with each other. So we just wrote these songs and they came out of us in like the year and a half we were together, and they're all bangers, man. They're crazy, they're fast, they're even the slow ones are really passionate. And so we just decided to make it self-titled because it made a lot of sense. The band gets together, here's the band's first album, and it's just its explosion of energy, and it's encompassed by the band's name, Sun Ghosts. So
yeah, where did the name come from?
A huge band name list from we got together. Like, all right, let's brainstorm. What do you think we should call it? What works? What vibes? And there was a lyric from an old song I wrote with my old band, and the lyric was a carousel waltz with sunlight specters. And I like the term sunlight specters, but it's kind of too many S's and too many syllables, so shortened it to Sun Ghosts. Still has three S's. But
it just flows a little better. Well, it's a good name. But it seems to fit Miami.
It
just
does because
it's
the sun right there.
Florida,
yeah.
You know.
And the ghosts makes it a little bit more mysterious. And that whole concept is, you know, sun and ghosts are two opposing things. And one of the main themes in the music is this sense of duality, light and darkness coexisting, love and mystery. Yeah, I like that concept of duality a lot. So a lot of the songs are very. A lot of the songs are very hopeful. A lot of them are very angsty because, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world and there's a lot of mixed feelings and, you know, uncertainty on how to deal with certain things and talking about certain subject matter, which now we're kind of, well, now me personally, I'm passing that stage and just decided recently I'm not going to tread the little neutral zone anymore of like certain topics, and I'm just going to come out and, you know, give my opinion on certain matters, you know, politics and climate change and a lot of the injustice that I feel is gripping this world right now. Greed and jealousy, you know, money, a lot of these things that, you know, rock and roll bands have always talked about for years whenever it's been really important, like during the wars and in the 70s and stuff like that, just bringing people together through love. And I think that's a really, really important thing. Music has an enormous power to bring people together and to really motivate others to kind of act on those feelings they may have inside and they may not be courageous enough to kind of stand for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be able to, with our music, inspire people to do good things and love and accept other kinds of people, because I think that's what the world's going through right now. So I would definitely want this band to be a part of that.
What genre? I know bands don't like to put it in boxes anymore, but what genres do you explore in Sun Ghost?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's something new. You know, I keep trying to think. I mean, we spent a lot of time on the road, so I kept trying to like put it into things and do that. And it's just, it's all over the place now because we all come from so many different backgrounds that we just merge everything together. So I know that somebody, like one day from some really prestigious blog, will give us a title, and I'll be very happy about it. I think we'll all be like, "Wow, that's awesome!"
One of the first blogs that wrote about us from the UK, they called us Sun-Drenched Garage Rock.
We
liked Sun-Drenched. We're like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." They said it
sounds good, but what does that mean? Sun-Drenched.
It's
warm.
I guess warm, but also
warm
breezy
and wet.
Because
humid,
drenched in this.
That's true.
It's humid. Moist garage rock. Guys.
Humid rock and roll.
Moist. I always knew that if it's something that makes you think and ask the question, that is a good thing. You know, if it's too in your face and it's too simple, you know, think about it. You don't really want to look into it anymore because you already know what it is. But if you ask a question, it makes you look into it more.
Yeah, it's like when you see a band and it just says hard rock.
You're like
okay.
All right. Like,
is it really that hard, though?
I mean, we like a lot. There's so much good music out there. I mean, there's so many so many things out there. You're just going to go to one restaurant for the rest of your life? No.
Yeah, you should see our playlists on the band. Like, it's all over the place.
Yeah, there's a lot of playlists.
Yeah.
There's a joke playlist that we call the Santa Claus playlist, and
we got all the bangers from the early 2000s, you know?
Yeah.
Usher's, yeah, it's forefront.
Oh, yeah,
sure,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Usher. Ludacris. I love Ludacris.
Yeah, Usher's, is definitely on that list. So you got us, man.
That makes me feel good.
Hadaway.
Yeah. So right after this tour, you're going to start writing a new record. And how long do you think that will take before that's all done?
That's the thing. It's not laid out in the way that we're like, all right, there's going to be another 14 songs. We're writing some songs as we go. We're thinking of recording a bunch of demos and then sifting through them and see, okay, how are we going to do this? Are we going to release a single at a time? Or are we going to do an EP? Because the game is changing a lot. And we want to flow with that. We want to really understand how that works. And a lot of these old notions of what record labels do and what bands are supposed to do, that's all changing. Right now, bands are completely empowered as small business people not small people in business, but like small business people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 5'3", so maybe.
So there's no really set time necessarily.
No,
it's just
no.
And it shouldn't be super set, you know? I mean, it is...
Just get the content out there, you know?
At the end of the day, it is art, you know? So you do want to have, you know, a good workflow in general, but as far as, you know, you're going to release a record or put your art out there, you do want it. You want to do it at your time. You want to do when you feel comfortable, when you feel good, when it comes out naturally, because it comes out more authentic that way.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're just about out of time here. I was just going to say something, but it was a good question, I think. Yeah, it just popped out of my head. Well, plug your social media, and if I remember, then I'll grab you at the last minute.
You can check out our album online on Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, all of it. We also have our music videos. We've got three really awesome music videos and an awesome live video up on our YouTube. And the band name is Sun Ghosts, all one word, plural, Sun Ghosts. We are also on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. We do a lot of silly stuff on our Snapchat, so please follow us. You'll have a great time.
Yee-yee.
Interact with us, too, because we do like to talk back.
Yee-yee.
And I think that's it.
I remember what it was. Oh, so the struggle with my friends that are musicians is they don't put it out. They'll have it done, and then they're like, I'm mastering it. So how do you get through? That seems to be a common theme for musicians, and for anything else too. Comedians, same thing. Like recording stuff and putting it out there. How do you get over that? I mean, for me, it's just you just got to do it.
Yeah.
Put it out there. And is that the same thing with you guys?
To accept that you're putting out something that it is a stamp of where you are right then and there.
Yeah.
You know, you're never going to be able to put something out that is, you know, right now, this is it, and boom. Like, you know, it doesn't work like that. I mean,
you're afraid. You're your own toughest critic, I guess, when it comes down to it.
Right,
so you're afraid of the criticism you might receive. But if you don't put it out, then you're
not
going to hear
anything. Exactly. It's like asking somebody else out on a date. You know?
Right.
The worst thing they can say is no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't like it, but you still did it, and you feel great at the end of
that's
the day.
Yeah, at least you'll know,
Our record label head, he always told me, and this was something that helped me along with this concept, was that when he was our age, he never released any music that he was writing because every month he'd be like, oh, I've been practicing guitar. I became a much better guitarist, so I can go back and re-record those parts and make them better. Oh, but now my vocals have gotten better, so let me go ahead and re-record. He would never end up releasing the song because he always got better and wanted to fix that song. But it's the idea of making a snapshot. This is you in this time and place right now and what you were feeling. And if you take too long to release a song, that is a fleeting emotion that you're trying to convey in this song that, yeah, it's outdated. And it's not going to match your vibe anymore. And maybe if you release it too late and then people expect you to play it live, you're going to be playing it live and have no gusto for it, no feeling because it took too long, you waited too long. So you got to just get it tight and in that moment and maybe show it to a couple people, ask for some opinions, but just get it out there, especially this day and age. You know, no one's going to kill you if you release something that's, you know, not the best quality. You release it, that's a snapshot of you then and there. You learn from that, and then you make the next thing and release that, and you have something to show for it.
Yeah, right on. Oh, yeah. Sun Ghost, thank you guys very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us, man. This was a pleasure, bro.
Thank you, bro.
You're very welcome. You have love. Do it, do it.